Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles is a short self-help and prosperity manual first published in 1920 and closely associated with the New Thought movement. Rather than offering investment advice, business tactics, or budgeting systems, the book presents a metaphysical and practical theory of wealth creation. Wattles argues that becoming rich depends on doing things in a certain way, which combines clear mental intention, gratitude, disciplined action, and a belief in abundance rather than competition. Its purpose is explicitly practical. It is written for readers who need money and want actionable principles before studying philosophy in depth. The book is historically significant because it helped shape later prosperity literature and influenced modern law of attraction writing. Its language is dated, and its claims are not scientific in the contemporary empirical sense. But its enduring relevance lies in its compact formulation of wealth as a product of focused thought, ethical creation, and consistent execution. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, wealth creation as a repeatable certain way rather than luck or privilege. Wattles presents wealth not as an accident of inheritance, rare talent, favorable location, or social class, but as the result of following a repeatable pattern of thought and behavior. This is the foundation of the book's claim to be a science, though its meaning of science is closer to a fixed method than to modern experimental proof. The certain way includes forming a definite purpose, holding to that purpose, and acting effectively in one's present circumstances. The reasoning is important because it shifts attention away from external explanations of poverty and toward controllable habits. Wattles does not deny that people start from unequal positions, but he argues that lack of capital, formal education, or exceptional ability is not decisive. This makes the book radically accessible in tone. The method is supposed to be usable by anyone in any trade. At the same time, this premise is also one of its limitations. By emphasizing individual methods so strongly, the book gives little attention to structural barriers, market realities, or practical financial skills. Its strength is psychological agency. Its weakness is economic simplification. Secondly, clear visualization as the organizing force behind purposeful action. A central instruction in the science of getting rich is that the reader must form a clear and definite mental picture of what is desired. Wattles treats thought as a creative force that impresses intention upon the formless substance. A new thought concept describing an underlying intelligent reality from which material conditions emerge, even for readers who do not accept this metaphysics. The practical mechanism is understandable. A precise aim organizes attention, reduces hesitation, and gives daily work a coherent direction. Wattles contrasts this with vague wishing, envy, or fear-based thinking, which scatter effort and keep the mind fixed on lack. The book repeatedly warns against dwelling on poverty, failure, or limitation, because such images weaken commitment to the desired result. In contemporary terms, the idea resembles goal clarity and selective attention more than technical financial planning. The value of the instruction is that it links imagination to execution. Visualization is not presented as idle fantasy. It is meant to define what the reader is working toward and to sustain persistence when immediate conditions do not yet match the desired outcome. Thirdly, creative action replaces competition as the ethical basis of riches. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is Wattles' distinction between creative and competitive action. Competitive action seeks wealth by taking advantage of scarcity, rivalry, or another person's loss. Creative action seeks wealth by producing more value, enlarging opportunity, and contributing to the advancement of others. This distinction gives the book an ethical dimension that separates it from purely acquisitive wealth manuals. Wattles argues that a person should not bargain, deceive, or exploit, but should give every person more in-use value than is received in cash value. The reasoning is that wealth created through expansion is more stable and morally coherent than wealth gained through domination. This idea also supports his broader abundance philosophy. If the universe is fundamentally generative, then one need not succeed by pushing others down. Practically, the principle encourages readers to focus on service, usefulness, and quality of work, rather than resentment or imitation. However, the book does not develop a detailed business ethics framework. Its contribution is a guiding orientation. Riches should come through creation of value, not through predatory competition. Fourthly, gratitude as a discipline for maintaining abundance-oriented perception. Gratitude plays a structural role in Wattles' method, not merely a sentimental one. He presents gratitude as the mental attitude that keeps the individual aligned with abundance and prevents the mind from collapsing into complaint, envy, or fear. In the book's metaphysical system, gratitude brings the reader into closer harmony with the creative intelligence of the universe. In practical terms, it functions as a discipline of attention, A grateful person notices resources, opportunities, assistance, and progress. An ungrateful person is more likely to fixate on obstacles and reinforce a scarcity identity. Wattles's emphasis on gratitude also moderates the aggressive tone that wealth-seeking books can sometimes adopt. The reader is encouraged to desire riches without bitterness toward the rich, contempt for the poor, or resentment toward circumstances. This does not mean passivity. Gratitude is paired with decisive work and clear intention. Its role is to stabilize the emotional state required for sustained action. The limitation is that the book can make gratitude sound like a universal solution, when real financial problems may also require technical knowledge, social support, and material resources. Lastly, effective daily work as the necessary counterpart to metaphysical belief. Although the science of getting rich is often associated with law of attraction ideas, Wattles does not present thought alone as sufficient. He repeatedly insists that the reader must act in the present environment and do each day's work as effectively as possible. This point is crucial because it prevents the book from being reduced to passive wishing. The reader is not told to wait for ideal conditions, but to begin where they are, using their current occupation, contacts, and duties as the field of action. But X and the purpose to get rich must be infused into ordinary work, meaning that even small tasks should be performed with competence, completeness, and forward intention. The practical reasoning is straightforward. Clear thought creates direction, but action creates contact with opportunity. Wattles also advises against reckless haste or abandoning one's current work before a genuine opening appears. This gives the book a more disciplined structure than some later prosperity writing. Its weakness remains the absence of specific commercial tools such as pricing, saving, investing, or market analysis. Its strength is the insistence that aspiration must be converted into consistent, competent performance. In conclusion, The Science of Getting Rich is best suited for readers interested in the philosophical and psychological roots of modern prosperity literature rather than those seeking detailed financial instruction. Entrepreneurs, freelancers, creators, sales professionals, and readers exploring new thought or law of attraction traditions may find it useful as a compact statement of goal clarity, value creation, gratitude, and disciplined execution. Its practical benefit lies in forcing the reader to define desire precisely, reject passive complaint, and connect ambition with daily work. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing how early 20th century self-help blended metaphysics, individual agency, and ethical wealth creation into a framework that later books would continue to adapt. Compared with similar titles, it stands out for its brevity, directness, and unusually explicit contrast between creative and competitive wealth. It is less tactical than Think and Grow Rich, and less contemporary than modern personal finance guides, but it is also more concentrated in its core thesis. Readers should approach it critically. Just the say and effort 25s, but they were out since its claims are not scientific in the modern research-based sense, and it gives little attention to structural inequality or financial mechanics. Still, as a foundational prosperity text, it remains important because it presents wealth as a disciplined combination of definite thought, constructive action, and non-exploitative value creation. If you would like to support Wallace D. Wattles, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.